All right. Hello, everyone. It's good to see you. I'm happy to see you. today what I'm going to do, especially since I think the only two people in the room that are here, at least right now, that were here 2 weeks ago when I was here, maybe three, Cheryl, Kathy, and maybe Dove was here. Other than that, I think that the others maybe weren't here. And I don't know if you guys remember, 2 weeks ago I did a teaching from the teachings of Inner Ramana, and then the recording was lost. So what I might do, if it's okay with you guys, is start with a review. You love a repeat? Okay. I will start with a review and then hopefully move beyond that point. But that way we'll have it on a recording. I'm going to start, however, with a song. And I picked this song because one of the topics we're going to look at today with Ramana Maharshi is happiness. So this song is by Donovan, and it's called Happiness Runs.
Little pebbles upon the sand, now you're lying here in my hand. How many years have you been here? Little human upon the sand, from where I'm lying here in your hand, you to me are but a passing breeze. The sun will always shine where you stand, depending in which land you may find yourself. Now you have my blessing, go your way. Happiness runs in a circular motion. Thought is like a little boat upon the sea. Everybody is a part of everything anyway. You can have everything if you let yourself be. Happiness runs, happiness runs. Happiness runs, happiness runs. Happiness runs, happiness runs. Happiness runs, happiness runs. Happiness runs in a circular motion. Thought is like a little boat upon the sea. Everybody is a part of everything anyway. You can have everything if you let yourself see. Happiness runs, happiness runs. Happiness runs, happiness runs. Happiness runs, happiness runs. Happiness runs, happiness runs. Happiness runs in a circular motion. Thought is like a little boat upon the sea. Everybody is a part of everything anyway. You can have everything if you let yourself see. Happiness runs, happiness runs. Happiness runs, happiness runs. Happiness runs, happiness runs. Happiness runs, happiness runs. Why? Because. Why? Because. Why? Because. Why? Because happiness runs in a circular motion. Thought is like a little boat upon the sea. Everybody is a part of everything anyway. You can have everything if you let yourself be. You can have everything if you let yourself be. You can have everything if you let yourself be. You can have everything if you let yourself be. You can have everything if you let yourself be. You can have everything if you let yourself be. You can have everything if you let yourself be. You can have everything if you let yourself be. You can have everything if you let yourself be. You can have everything if you let yourself be. You can have everything if you let yourself be. You can have everything if you let yourself be. You can have everything if you let yourself be. You can have everything if you let
yourself be. Yeah, sweet song. Sweet song. All right, so. What I'm going to do then, since there's not many people here, I'm going to take advantage of it in order to just kind of do a review of what we talked about 2 weeks ago. So I'm starting on page 10. number 23. And this is the question. Is it any use reading books for those who long for release? Is it any use reading books for those who long for release? And here's Ramana Maharshi's answer. All the texts say that in order to gain release, one should render the mind quiet. Therefore, their conclusive teaching is that the mind should be rendered quiet. Once this has been understood, there is no need for endless reading. In order to quiet the mind, one has only to inquire within oneself what oneself is. How could this search be done in books? One should know oneself with one's own eye of wisdom. The true self is within the five sheaths, but books are outside them. Since the self has to be inquired into by discarding the five sheaths, it is futile to search for it in books. There will come a time when one will have to forget all that one has learned. So that's the answer. So one of the things that stood out to me last time that I read this question and answer and stood out to me again this time as I read this question and answer. Hello, Jamie. Is that all that's required in order to gain release is to render the mind quiet. But then Ramana Maharshi says, once this has been understood, there is no need for endless reading. Once this has been understood, there is no need for endless reading. So, what this does seem to imply is that until this is fully understood, until it clicks within that, you gonna help me teach? Go lay down. Until it clicks within that really what needs to happen is that the mind needs to be quiet, there may be a purpose for reading. And what I mentioned last time is that Michael Langford has shared with me that he is adapting his approach, which we all know as the direct path or the most direct means to eternal bliss. If you have read Michael's books, then you know he makes recommendations such as, you know, letting go of all entertainment, you know, just letting go of everything except of the activities that you absolutely have to be engaged in, which may vary from person to person, but let go of everything that you do not have to do and spend all of your time in awareness, watching awareness meditation, anywhere from the minimum of 2 hours per day up to 12 hours per day if you can do that. And Michael has realized that people who are at an earlier stage on the spiritual path and not yet at the end of the spiritual path do not have the motivation for that teaching. And in fact, the way I put it last time was, the way I see it is that Michael was born into this lifetime ready for the end of the spiritual path. And so it's the only thing that was really in him from age 17 on was this desire to be completely liberated. And so he was very, very driven. And once he discovered awareness, watching awareness, and realized that this was the direct path, that's pretty much all he wanted to do. And his book is written for someone who is at that same stage, who really is just consumed by the desire to awaken. And but not everybody's at that stage yet. You know, at some point that stage will come. And when that stage comes, we may not even need those instructions to spend all of our time in awareness, watching awareness meditation. That may just be, you know, what we are called to do, and we couldn't do anything else anyway. But for people who are not yet at that stage, but yet still feel called to the spiritual path, Michael has realized that they need a more gentle beginning. And in fact, I think he is somewhat calling it the beginning. And he has designed a curriculum that can be accomplished in, at the very beginning, only 30 minutes per day. And that curriculum is focused on reading. At the very, very beginning, it is focused on reading. Because the reading of the right materials, it does two things for us. One, it inspires us. It increases that desire for truth, which gives us the motivation for spiritual practices like awareness, watching awareness. But two, it gives us the understanding that Ramana Maharshi is talking about here, that in order to attain liberation, the mind needs to be rendered quiet. And from what Michael has told me, after passing, you know, a beginning stage where a person is reading the right materials, the most direct materials, for 30 minutes a day, then later, maybe the spiritual time, the special spiritual time, is extended to an hour a day, still with half an hour of reading and half an hour of awareness, watching awareness meditation, which is getting much closer to where we are right now with the Gentle Healing Group, right? Because we look at our lesson each day. We look at the tip each day. Right now we have one reading assignment a week, and then we're spending about half an hour a day in awareness, watching awareness, or another direct path meditation. So it's pretty much, you know, yeah, and some days I recommend two meditations. Yeah, not every day. Yes. But it's pretty much where we are at that stage. But again, as this desire for liberation or truth or awakening increases, then eventually we get to a point where there's nothing else to be gained from books. That motivation, that necessary knowledge has been gained. We now understand that really what needs to be done is the mind needs to be quiet. We need to seek inward for our true self, you know, awareness, and become established in that. And at that point, there is no more need for books. So let me just read Ramana Maharshi's answer one more time, see if there's anything else I want to pick out of this and review before we go on. Is it any use reading books for those who long for release? All the texts say that in order to gain release, one should render the mind quiet. Therefore, their conclusive teaching is that the mind should be rendered quiet. Once this has been understood, there is no need for endless reading. In order to quiet the mind, one has only to inquire within one's self what one's self is. How could this search be done in books? One should know one's self with one's own eye of wisdom. Yeah, I'm going to pause with that sentence too. One should know one's self with one's own eye of wisdom. There is no other way to know the truth, right? We can read about the truth in books. We can listen to teachers talking about the truth. But what we really need is our own direct experience of truth. Otherwise, it is merely intellectual knowledge. And this is why at some point, when we are ready, when we have the motivation, we need to engage in the practices that give us that direct experience. And for those of you who were here 2 weeks ago when I covered the same material, one thing that's different for me now than 2 weeks ago is that in this last weekend I went on a retreat where we spent 3 entire days from the time we got out of bed in the morning until the time we went to bed at night inquiring, either asking the question, who am I, or asking the question, what am I? And although I practice with inquiry pretty much on a daily basis, occasionally life gets in the way and I don't, but as a general rule, you know, I practice inquiry and awareness, watching, awareness, meditation on a daily basis. I have never had that concentrated of an opportunity for inquiry before. You know, I have a job and a dog to walk and, you know, a house to clean and a yard to care for and, you know, all these other responsibilities, right? But while we were at this retreat, they cared for us. We each had one chore that we accomplished each day. But other than that, we were cared for, so we had no responsibilities. And, in fact, we were not only encouraged, but really, you know, pretty much required. It was, I think I told you all, this was like a spiritual boot camp to spend all day from the time we got out of bed till the time we went to bed in one form or another. They had different ways of doing this, but in one form or another, we were practicing the inquiry, either who or what am I, for 3 days. And in those 3 days, I had direct experiences that are beyond the direct experiences I had had before. And what that has also done for me is that has created a motivation in me that was not there before, and that now I really do, I want to like schedule this into my calendar where I have at least 2 days a month where I go away from my house, because again, my house is where all of my responsibilities are. I want to go away from my house to a place where I do not have many responsibilities beyond showering, etc., stopping to eat, and spend 2 days a month in self-inquiry. Now, that's in addition to, you know, the daily hour or 2 hours that I may be able to accomplish at home. But I really feel strongly, based on my experience, that if we can set aside some time, and you know, whether you can do it one full day a week, or, you know, to me right now what feels reasonable for me is about 2 days a month, and maybe eventually I can get that up to 4 days a month. Maybe eventually I can get that up to where it's like Thursday and Friday every other week, where we're doing almost nothing else but practicing inquiry. I think the direct experience and that we would have would, first of all, really motivate us, really encourage us, because like I said, it has me this weekend. And also, it's going to take us to awakening. It's just what's going to do. I could see that. You could feel it. You know, given enough time to be that focused, you're going to awaken. And this is something that Nisargadatta tells us. It's certain, right? That if it's all that you want, awakening is certain. Elie Ruzdar tells us the same thing. You know, Michael Langford tells us the same thing. But again, they're talking about a dedication that is beyond which most of us have given, either because we don't have the motivation or because genuinely life gets in the way. We just have too many other responsibilities. So finding ways to literally carve some time out of our life, I feel, get away from even the family. Just, you know, get away 2 to 4 days a month. And then use that time solely for practicing self-inquiry or for awareness, watching awareness, abandon, release, loving consciousness. To me, it's all the same. The giant steps forward that we would make would be incredible. And I noticed Kathy is saying a retreat like that would be great. So noted. Cheryl says, Regina, can you go through the process again? I'm asking because I want to listen to this recording again and again. So it becomes a natural part of my daily living awareness. So when you say go through the process again, Cheryl, I'm not 100% certain which process you are talking about. Oh, inquiry. Thank you very much for that detail. Yeah, let me have a drink of water. So there are no distractions. What I'm going to do is close my eyes, and I'm just going to practice self-inquiry for a few moments out loud. And I will do what we did at this retreat, in that in the retreat we sat in they called them dyads, which, you know, is just sitting across from someone else. And as you were practicing self-inquiry, you shared out loud what your experience was. Now, usually if I practice self-inquiry by myself, I don't share out loud like that. You know, I'm just watching and inquiring. But I think right now, based on Cheryl's question, I think it would be helpful if I share out loud in that way again, so that she and anyone else who wants to can kind of hear what's going on within me. So this is not really a guided meditation, because I'm not going to be focused on guiding you as I do this. I'm just going to be focused on looking within and demonstrating that. But who knows what will happen if you choose to just kind of close your eyes and relax like you would in a guided meditation. So if you want to try and just listen in that way, please do. But again, this is different than a guided meditation. I'm just going to be practicing inquiry out loud and describing my experience as I do so. So I'm going to close my eyes. And when I first close my eyes, you know, there's always this need, it feels like, to kind of shift from an outward focus to an inward focus. And the way I'm going to do that right now is just take a couple of deep breaths. Even after one breath, I can feel myself settling down. I'm going for the second breath. And now I feel ready to look within. And so I am asking myself, what am I? And when I ask, what am I, the very first thing I noticed this time was the darkness that occurs because the eyes are closed. But what I also noticed simultaneously was that I am looking at that darkness. There is me. And I'm going to call that right now the looker, the awareness. And it's aware of the darkness that's caused by the closed eyes. And I'm just shifting my attention to the fact that I am aware that I am aware. I am aware that I am aware of the darkness caused by the closed eyes. And in a very gentle, non-straining, but yet concentrated way, I am paying attention to myself as that awareness. And now, I ask again, what am I? As I ask the question, there is an intention. The intention is to know my true self, to have a direct experience of my true self. There already is what I'm going to call an experience that's moving in that direction. Because whenever we become aware of ourselves as the observer, we have already moved away from identification with the body and the mind. So the second I closed my eyes and became aware that I saw that darkness, and then became aware that I am the one that sees that darkness, and I shifted to paying attention to myself as that awareness, I had already shifted toward knowing the true self, away from illusion, and toward knowing the true self. But moving in the right direction is not the same thing as having arrived at the destination. And so knowing I'm moving in the right direction, I want to continue with the intention to know my true self. I want to continue to practice the inquiry and continue to move in the right direction toward the destination, which is a direct experience of my true self. So again, aware of myself as being aware, I ask again, what am I? And when I ask, I allow the looking to be, and the looking, I mean the observer, the inner looking, I allow the looking to be open. I'm hoping that I described this well because I've never attempted to describe this before. There's a seeking energy that has a desperation in it. Like something is wrong with me or something is wrong in general. And that seeking energy is not what feels to me to be the appropriate seeking energy when I ask, what am I? It feels like that's somehow inappropriate. So the seeking energy that I use, which is a different type of seeking energy, is I just be open, the looking and the mind are open for a deeper realization than whatever the current realization is. Or a deeper direct experience than whatever the current direct experience is. It's an openness for that. So when I ask the question, what am I? I be open. Both mind and looking is just open. And so as that which is already aware, that I am awareness, that I am that which sees the darkness when the eyes are closed, as that which is already aware, I'm focusing in on that again. I'm looking at the darkness, and now I'm aware that I am the one looking at the darkness. I'm the inner sight, the inner looking that is aware of the darkness. And now with the intention to go deeper within, I ask again, what am I? And my experience with asking this question this time was what I would call a heart opening. A lot of inner warmth, pleasant feelings. People might describe them as tingles or peace. And I'm just being with the effect of having asked the question again. I'm in no hurry. There's never a hurry when meditating. Whatever is given when we ask the question, we stay with that and embrace that. But I am noticing that I am the awareness that's aware of this heart opening. I am the awareness that feels these pleasant feelings in the chest and the forehead. And both being with what has come and noticing that I am the awareness that's aware of it. And I just rest with what is present right now until I feel that inner prompt to ask the question again. So each time I ask the question, it's like a drilling inward, but it's not a jackhammer. It's a slow drilling inward where I accept each stage that I pass through on the way. So again, I'm just being with these feelings of the open heart. That not losing the perspective that I'm the one that's aware of the open heart. All right, now I'm going to ask again, what am I? Interestingly, the openness that occurred in the heart the last time I asked the question is now occurring in the throat. So I'm allowing this to occur in the throat. It is what I would describe as a pleasant sensation. But I am remaining aware that I am aware. Remaining aware that I am aware of the open throat. Staying aware of awareness and allowing these pleasant sensations to be. Resting until I feel the intuitive prompt to ask again. Focused on awareness. And now I ask, what am I? And interestingly, this time what came as I asked the question was a little bit of fear. Not anything enormous. Just a little anxiousness in the heart area. There's a memory of the position that I was moved into through self-inquiry in the past weekend. And there's a little fear. The fear is probably two things, because the fear is coming from the ego, and the ego tends to take both sides, even simultaneously. So I think it's fair to say that there's both a fear of shifting into that position again, further away from the ego, and a fear of failing, of not shifting into that position again. And it's not unusual for the ego to take both sides of an issue. So all I'm doing now is just relaxing around the fear, relaxing the heart, and realizing that it's not at all important, but it is to be acknowledged because it is what came as I asked the question. Continuing that process of relaxing around the heart. Also, again, noticing that I am aware of the fear in the heart. I am aware of the relaxing around the heart. But even more, I'm actually aware of the decision to relax around the heart. And when I said that, when I became aware that I am aware of the decision, we might call it being aware of the decision-making mechanism or the decision-maker, I felt myself shift back into another position. That position is best described well, it's not the decision maker because it's aware of the decision maker. Now, just to let you know, there is fear in the heart. This is what the heart feared, is that I would shift back into this position. And that's all right. But the position I am in now is behind the decision maker. It's aware of the decision maker. It's a position that's very difficult to describe. Right now, the way it's coming to me is just to describe it as clear glass. I am the clear glass that sees. I am the clear glass that is aware. But I do nothing myself. The heart is beating rapidly now. The body is heating up. I am maintaining my stillness. I am maintaining my awareness of this new position. And I am ending the demonstration. Somebody here was less happy than the ego, I think, with that.
I think she thought you were leaving.
Yeah, so that's just a little example, Cheryl. I hope that answers your question. And so you can imagine, I don't know how long I did that, maybe 8, 9, 10 minutes. You can imagine that if you were to take an entire day or 2 entire days or 3 entire days to just keep doing that, it's quite, quite powerful. And what we did at the retreat, which was extremely helpful, is we would do this, you know, for 40 minutes, and then we would once every day we would do 40 minutes, take a 5-minute break, and then do 40 minutes again. But then other than that, after 40 minutes, we would take breaks and do like maybe a walking contemplation where you're walking and continuing to ask yourself, what am I? And then after, you know, maybe a 50 minutes of walking, you come back for another 40 minutes of the closed eye dyad format inquiry. So what I found really helpful, you know, at least my experience so far is that, you know, I can only sit and practice self-inquiry for so long. But what I found is if I alternated practicing self-inquiry sitting and then maybe walking, and when you're walking, you're more contemplating the question than actually meditating. So it's kind of a lighter form, but it keeps it with you. It keeps it alive. You didn't become distracted. And so then I come back, you know, you come back and then go into the closed eye deeper again until it's time for another break, and then you do the lighter contemplation, but you're not doing anything at all, but staying with the contemplation in one form or another. So all of that came from the fact that it almost sounds like we got a little off topic, but we didn't. The question was, is it any use reading books for those who long for release? And two key thoughts in the answer that Ramana Maharshi is giving. One is that once it has been understood that what you really need to do is render the mind quiet, once it's been understood that you need to do this, then there is no need for endless reading. Right, so the reading is to motivate us to this point, or to give us the knowledge of, aha, that's how I awaken. It's not all this other stuff that I might have thought before. It's this path of going within. That's what Jesus meant when he said the kingdom of heaven is within, right? Once that is realized, there's no more need for all the reading, unless you still need some reading every day to motivate you. Right, that's the only purpose the reading would have, is just to motivate you. But once you understand the process, then in order to quiet the mind, one has only to inquire within one's self what one's self is. And that's what I just demonstrated briefly, was the what am I inquiry. And again, each time I asked the question, something would come, something would arise, something would appear, something would shift. And I just gently stay with that, be with that, but notice, always noticing that I'm the awareness that's aware of that. And I think this is extremely key. You know, one thing that I have also become aware of, I mentioned that this opening of the heart was very pleasant, and this opening of the throat was very pleasant. Well, what some people do is they make the mistake of putting, I'm going to call it, too much value on the temporary phenomena that occurs, such as the opening of the heart and the opening of the throat. And what we want to remember to do, although these sensations can be very pleasant, and again, there can be other sensations that are very unpleasant, like that, you know, it wasn't in my case, the fear was very light, but like if the fear became very, very intense, that might be extremely unpleasant, right? We do not want to become over-concerned or over-occupied with what occurs during the inquiry. We want to remain aware of the fact that we're the awareness that's aware of this phenomena that's occurring. But again, as I mentioned, in my case, it does not feel appropriate, and I'm just doing this intuitively, it doesn't feel appropriate to be a jackhammer. What am I? What am I? What am I? What am I? You know, it feels appropriate to kind of pause with whatever occurs after I ask the question and remain aware that I'm awareness, but kind of let the dust settle. And then ask again. It's like a gentle going inward. That's what feels right for me anyway. You know, you all can have your own experiences and see what feels right for you. But it's a continual going in, a continual asking. We keep, you know, think of the question, who am I or what am I, as your automobile. And you're letting the automobile take you to the destination. And the destination is the direct experience of your true self. So you ask the question, and this is like a little push car automobile too. You know, like imagine it's like a little toy push car. You push it, vroom, it goes so far, but then you need to push it again, right? So we're pushing a little toy car, automobile, all the way to the direct experience of ourself. So I ask, what am I? And that's the first push. And I just be with that while it's rolling. And then as that rolling starts to slow down, I ask again, what am I? That's the next push, right? But I want to keep moving in the direction of that direct experience. And there may be a number of different types of direct experiences along the way. But until the world disappears, that's my criteria. Until the world disappears, we can continue to ask, what am I? Continue in the direction of the destination. Okay, Jamie, how's that sound to you? She doesn't, I don't know, she's not really responding to that question. All right. All right, let's move on, shall we? Last time I taught this class, it's kind of good, we're doing it different this class, these questions and answers. But last time I taught this, you know, we did all of 23, which we just now did, but we did do it in a slightly different way. Because, you know, it's a different day, right? And we started 24, but we're unable to finish it. So I'm going to start 24 again, and we will see if we finish it this time or if we just kind of end up in the exact same place, but in a slightly different way. So question number 24, what is happiness? Happiness is the very nature of the self. Happiness and the self are not different. There is no happiness in any object of the world. We imagine through our ignorance that we derive happiness from objects. We talked about this last time, but let's just stop and talk about this again. Oh, and Kathy is saying at some point I would appreciate more guided live meditation like you just did. Okay, so that's noted as well. But not when Jamie's this noisy, okay? I don't know what's up with her today. And she was like this Monday night too, wasn't she? I don't know. Is there something you've been trying to tell me for 3 days that I'm not yet hearing? Yeah, I don't know what it is. I have no earthly idea. She's so well taken care of.
She's had a treat.
Yeah, she's just so well taken care of. I can't even begin to understand. She clearly wants me to get out of this chair, but I'm not going to. So we talked about this 2 weeks ago, but we'll talk about it again. The fact that we think... Oh, I don't have commercials on the side panel, but thank you, Hal. I have the paid version, so there's no commercials on my case. We think that things make us happy. For example, we think that if we get a new outfit, maybe if we're a lady or maybe even if we're a guy, I don't know. That if I'm having a little bit of trouble concentrating.
Is there something I can help?
No. If you weren't here, I would still have, you know, I mean, I appreciate that you're here. But usually it's just me and her, and I have to manage in my own way, so I don't know what to do. Maybe what I can do, you know what I think I can do? I think that, again, Jamie is really just not interested in permitting this right now. And also, I think that if I tried to continue, I would have trouble focusing, that's honest. And I think that we might not have time to get through this anyway. So I think I'm going to stop and just play music. All right? We're done for today, but I'm going to play music. I'm going to continue to keep the mic. Cheryl's saying it's good. Go ahead. Just give her what she wants, but I can't imagine what she wants. So what I'm going to do is just play some music. And this is the way it's meant to be today, right? Yeah, she wants my attention. Let me just play some music. So, it's only 10 minutes left. Let's listen to some great, great songs. Oh, I started to go to iTunes, but I think I'm going to go to YouTube instead. We're going to listen to some songs that will motivate us. We're just waiting for my internet to respond. Oops. It completely closed down on me. It's moving faster this time, so maybe this will work better. All right. Why don't we begin with this song? Because it's really about self-inquiry. I'm sure you all know it. But again, if you just maybe really listen with your eyes closed, you'll just hear how encouraging this song is. It's by Kirtana. And it's called Who You Really Are.
Could there be more to this life we call mine? Then a journey through space, or a storyline, more to life than the body can sense, than the mind can conclude. From experience, as who we are, begin with breath, depend on form, or end with death. Strip away these roles, these names, and tell me what remains.
Life comes a call to
from the cycle of bondage. This identity to wake from the dream and finally realize the truth of one's being before the body dies. So before the final scene is cast, see the screen on which it's cast. See what's seeing this me and you, and then you will see who. Who you really are.
One of my very favorite songs. This one is called A Prayer Beyond. Love this song. Nice guy in the road.
In my small desert village of canvas and bone, where the sun burned your dreams and the stars freeze to stone, came a storm and a song on the teeth of the wind. But as I gazed down the rage, something soft brushed my skin. I am truth beyond reason. I am knowing beyond thought. I am grace beyond effort. I am strength beyond force. I am love beyond all expectation. I am peace beyond time. I am love in motion. I am light divine. Watching soldiers ride out past the dry village well, was it the glint of a sword or a tear? I couldn't tell. In the wind-driven sand, a soldier knelt in the square. He laid down his sword and he whispered this prayer. I am truth beyond reason. I am knowing beyond thought. I am grace beyond effort. I am strength beyond force. I am love beyond all expectation. I am peace beyond time. I am love in motion. I am life. My eyes grow weary from the sting of the sand, and it covers men's hearts across many lands. But the soldier still kneels, his prayer never ends. A warrior of love, till a new life begins. I am truth beyond reason. I am knowing beyond thought. I am grace beyond effort. I am strength beyond force.
All right,
force.
That's it for my time. Thanks you all for hanging out with me. Bye.